Romans chapter number 12, verse number 16. Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 16. We're reading from the King James Bible. If you see someone who does not have a Bible, please share with them your Bible. If you do not have a King James Bible, you do not have a Bible, ladies and gentlemen. So make sure you get a King James Bible, not a New King James. Get a King James Bible. Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 16. Let's read together in unison, shall we? Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about understanding, where it says in the middle there, condescend to men of low estate. I want you to be, the title of my sermon, I guess, this morning is Understanding or Trying to Understand People or Just Understanding. So let's pray. Dear God, again, we thank you for loving us. Thank you for salvation. Dear Jesus, thank you for being our God and our Savior. Lord, please meet with us this morning. Dear Holy Spirit of God, speak to our hearts. I thank you, dear God, that you've given us an old-fashioned church of people who love you, love the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, this will be a help this morning in the years to come, that this would literally change people's lives this morning. And Lord, help us to pay attention. Help us not to be distracted. Help us not to be a distraction. And Lord, we pray all this to that end. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Romans chapter number 12 and verse number 16. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Now, the word condescend has really changed its meaning over the last few generations. It's not the Bible word condescend. For instance, when you hear somebody say they're very condescending, that's almost like saying somebody's looking down somebody in a bad way, in a bad manner, looking down like they're lower than themselves. And that's how you and I would normally take the word condescending today. But all condescending really means, biblically speaking, is to lower yourself to someone else's level so that you can understand their plight or what they're going through or their heartaches or their burdens. So that's why God says condescend to men of low estate. Look what it says in verse number 16. Condescend to men of low estate. If God's blessed you, if God's given you things, or God's blessed you in areas materially, and you see others that are lacking or hurting, then you ought to condescend yourself and try to reach somebody who is in lower station in life than you are. And that's basically wrapped up in understanding people. Now, they're going to, listen, Sarah, they're going to have to sit still or they're going to have to go outside. You're going to have to be with them, okay? So condescending has the connotation of understanding people's plight or what they're going through, like walking in somebody's shoes. And a lot of times we're very inconsiderate because we're selfish beings. We're only looking at our own lives and the things that's going on in our lives. And so we tend not to think about what other people are going through in life. And God wants us to pay attention to our neighbor spiritually, not to be a busybody or sticking our nose into anybody else's business. And we've talked about that enough, okay? But spiritually, you ought to be concerned about everybody and what everybody's going through. And so this message this morning is on being concerned. And understanding is sort of like having sympathy or empathy for people. And even things or truths. Maybe you don't have an understanding heart this morning, or maybe you do. My Bible says that God can enlarge your heart so that you can understand more things than you understand now. For instance, you may be here this morning and you have no understanding about most things in life. You may be here this morning, you've been saved for quite a while, you've been coming to church, you've been reading your Bible, and maybe you understand more than the average church attendee. But yet God can even enlarge your heart to understand more things and greater things if you allow him to. Understanding is sort of like wisdom's sister or kinswoman, if you can. So they almost go hand in hand in the Bible. Most of the times where you see understanding mentioned, wisdom, it tags along with it. A lot of times where you see wisdom mentioned in the Bible, understanding tags along with them. They almost go hand in hand together every time you see wisdom or understanding, because when you ask God for wisdom and he gives you wisdom, he also included in that package gives you a little bit of understanding, because that's what wisdom is, knowing how to apply knowledge at the right time and how to apply it. And having an understanding heart when it comes to people is being considerate of other people's plight, is being considerate of what other people are going through or they have gone through in the past. And I believe sometimes that we're selfish beings, we tend not to think of other people, and sometimes we're very short with people and say, well, how come they don't do this? Or how come they don't do this? How come she's like that? Or how come he's like that? That comes from not understanding baggage that people carry with them after salvation. Just because you're saved doesn't mean that you cleaned up everything all of a sudden. And just because you asked Jesus to save your soul from hell doesn't mean that you're walking on water and everything's all right in your life. You have to understand, a lot of people have baggage and a lot of people have things in their past that even haunt them today. If you do not have understanding, you need to ask God for understanding. And you need to read the scriptures for understanding. Understanding will help you to feel the pain and hurt others are going through. Understanding is like, the Bible says, condescending, lowering yourself to other people as the Word of God tells us to. As we said earlier, condescending has a different meaning today than it did 400 years ago. All it means is to lower yourself and put yourself in someone else's shoes and put yourself in someone else's circumstances and try to think what they're going through and what they're thinking. Have you ever thought what a widow goes through when she loses her husband or buries her husband? Huh? Or has lived a widowed life for 5, 10, 15, 20 years sometimes? Have you ever thought what a wife feels like when she's burying her husband that comes from overseas when he was in these armed services? Or anybody for that matter, somebody who dies early, who dies young, whether from an accident, they've been injured, or because they had an illness or they were sick. You know, when a young person dies prematurely because they're supposed to live a long life, that's an extra traumatic, effect on somebody, ladies and gentlemen. Usually you wait for somebody in their 70s or 80s or 90s to go. But when somebody in their, you know, who's in their teenage years, and they do die, by the way, somebody who's younger than 10, some people who die in their 20s, that has an extra traumatic effect on somebody because they're not supposed to die that young. Well, those of us who are saved, those of us who know Jesus Christ, we ought to be a little bit more sensitive, and we ought to be a little bit more considerate to people who have gone through struggles like that. And even when older people do pass away, I'm not saying you shouldn't be considerate. I'm just saying you ought to be considerate of everybody who's having some kind of broken heart or suffering some kind of pain or some kind of loss. Some people are going through financial stress. Some people have been laid off. They've lost a job, or they've been downsized, or they're getting fired, or they're not able to get a job. Some people, as you've read in the last 4, 5, 6 years, have suffered foreclosures on their homes, have their cars repossessed. They filed bankruptcy. They've overextended themselves. I'm not saying it's not their fault. I'm just saying you can be considerate, though. And you can condescend a little bit. You can have an understanding heart how somebody can get caught up in that rat race of life because they've been enticed to spend too much than what they should have been spending on. Poorer people than yourself. Some people are struggling. Not in America. There's no poor people in America. I'm talking about third world countries, amen? But poorer people than yourself who are struggling. And even people who are on welfare and receiving food stamps, you ought to have a little bit of understanding. Somebody got mad at me. Listen, 25, 27 years ago, I was preaching a sermon. I said, I understand why people get on food stamps and welfare. I do understand it. I don't agree with it, and I preach against it. If you come here long enough, you know I believe they ought to outlaw all of it. But I can understand why people in Mexico want to come to America. If you don't understand that, then you don't have an understanding heart why people who only make 25 cents a day, 50 cents a day, would want to come here and make in America $10, $15 an hour. That should be very easily understood. I'm against people coming to our country illegally. My mom came as a legal immigrant, as a 19-year-old teenager on a boat. But she had to come the legal way, and I think that's the way we ought to do it. But I do understand why people try to break the law just to get to America. Because there's too many Americans too stinking lazy to get a job and hold a job. And these people will do exactly what their boss tells them to do. I understand that. If you don't understand that, you have a problem with your pride and too much nationalistic, egotistic, whatever you want to call it, about the borders in America. But I can understand why people break the law to get to America. I can understand, be honest with you, why some people are suicidal. Yeah. I understand the pressures of life. You've heard me preach. I think it's one of the most diabolical things that a person could ever do to hurt your family and hurt your friends is to commit suicide. I think it's the worst thing a person on planet Earth could ever do. But I do understand why people get caught in that position and think that way. I do understand why people break the law. I mean, even the Bible says not to hold a grudge against somebody who steals, who's hungry, to feed himself and his family. If he gets caught, he ought to pay the price for it. Now, I'm for having a high penalty and a high punishment for breaking the law. But you ought to be able to understand why people do get caught up in that kind of mind frame and steal. You ought to understand why people get drunk, because there's no hope inside. They have no joy inside. You ought to at least understand why people take drugs and heroin and marijuana. Is that how you pronounce it? I understand why people take crack cocaine. I do. Because there's no joy or hope in their life, and they're empty inside. I'm against it. I think, and they're going to pay the price for it. You know, they're only doing it because they're getting pressured by friends. Yeah, you're taking friends and advice from teenagers. They're real smart. That stuff's going to ruin your life. But I do understand why people fall under that pressure. I understand why people crumble under that pressure. And given the right circumstances, you just might give in too, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't grow up in their broken home. Huh? You don't know what people have gone through. They're not going to come out and tell you, you know, I was raped. They're not going to come out and tell you I was molested. A lot of people still harbor a lot of ill feelings from people who robbed them, robbed their homes. You know, you don't know why some people are more nervous than others. You don't know why people are more anxious than others. You don't know why some people are more angrier than others. You just don't know the baggage. You don't know the skeletons in their closet. But you can be understanding. And understanding comes from God. It doesn't come from you. It doesn't come from your personal life and from your personal experience. So you can be right. You can be straight and narrow. You can be old-fashioned. You can be strict. You can be right-wing as you can possibly be. And if you don't have understanding, and if you don't have charity in 1 Corinthians 13, you're nothing, the Bible says. I believe in being old-fashioned. I believe in dotting the I's and crossing the T's. I really believe that. But for you not to care about people who are what we call downtrodden, people who are being left by themselves, who in their own mind sight, in their mind, for whatever reason, they think nobody cares about them. There's no hope for them. They're stuck in this rat race. They can't get out. That's where you and I show up, ladies and gentlemen. That's where they need somebody from God to knock on their door. That's where they need somebody from God to show up in a church van or a church bus and bring them to church. That's where they need somebody from God to invite them to a Thanksgiving dinner and say, you know what? There's hope with Jesus Christ, amen. There's hope with God, amen. You may be struggling this morning. You may have some heartaches this morning. You may be divorced. You may be going through a separation right now. You may be going through a turmoil right now that nobody understands. I want you to know Jesus understands, and I want you to know this church understands, amen? It's an amazing thing. People who are single have no idea what people with large families go through. And a lot of times, as awkward or unrealistic as this may sound, people with large families have no idea what single people go through. You say they have no problems and heartaches, and bro, what are they going through? Because they want to be with somebody too. And so, a lot of times we just don't want to take the step to try to understand what people are going through. You know, we only had 6 children growing up. Well, we had 3 more, but I buried them because they didn't listen to me. And I kept telling my kids, if you don't listen either, I'm going to bury you in the backyard. Amen. But we've moved so many times, the FBI is going to have a tough time tracking my backyards. Amen. But, you know, I don't care if you got 6 kids or 10 kids or 12 kids. You know, you're busy. You're busy. And you go, life is hectic. You know, I don't know how many grandchildren you got over there. Is it 15 or 20 or 25, brother? How many you got? 28. You try naming 28 grandchildren at one time. You know? And so, well, you know, what I'm saying is it's very difficult for an individual just to think on the plight of other people because we're so wrapped up with our own lives. Well, Jesus wants to get us out of our own box, out of our own comfort zone, and think on others who are hurting. The reason why somebody's getting mad at you is because they're inside, they're hurting, ladies and gentlemen. The reason why somebody's spiteful and tries to do you some harm or hurt or try to say something nasty to you is because inside they're hurting. Your job is to try to figure out and to understand what they're going through if you could be a help and a blessing to them, not to retaliate. Yes, sir. Jesus did say turn the other cheek, didn't he? He did say bless them that curse you, didn't he? He did say pray for them that despitefully use you, didn't he? The only way you can do that if you can understand what somebody's been going through or has been going through their entire life. Listen, I understand why people don't like old-fashioned preaching. If I was lost on my way to hell, I wouldn't like it either. You come into an old-fashioned church preaching hellfire and damnation. If you were lost, I don't blame you for not liking it. Because I understand if you're lost outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, why you wouldn't like something that preaches against your sin. I understand that. I'm trying to win people. That's where I was. I was lost outside of Jesus Christ. But somebody cared for my soul. Somebody looked past my sins. Somebody looked past my faults. And somebody looked past my errors. And they understood that I was a sinner lost on my way to hell. And they did not want me to go to hell. Takes a lot of understanding to understand that. I was caught up with my vices, caught up with my bad habits, caught up with a lot of things that I shouldn't have been doing. Place I shouldn't have been going. And it took somebody who had an understanding heart to reach me. Not argue with me. Not argue philosophically. Not argue politics. But my soul was empty on the inside, and they understood that it was empty on the inside. Newly married people don't understand what divorced couples are going through. Children who grow up in broken homes don't understand people who grow up in intact homes, and intact homes don't understand people that grow up in broken homes. You can hear about it, but unless you grew up in it, you just don't understand it. Unless the police were called to your house 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, then you just don't understand, ladies and gentlemen. I understand what people are going through with alcohol and gambling, pornography. You know, we talk about illegal drugs. How about the legal drugs? People are addicted to legal drugs just like people are addicted to illegal drugs. But people have their hobbies and their habits, and they're addicted to sports, and they're addicted to education. They're addicted to political causes and religious causes, their union activities. You have to take somebody's complete background or their home environment or their parents or lack of parents or their experiences or their trauma or their violence or even their paranoia. So why are some people paranoid? Did you see that? Come here long enough, you'll see them too. You know, why are some people clean freaks and other people just dirty slobs? Why can somebody be neat and put everything away, make their beds, and some people just sloppy, don't care where they throw everything? Why are some people so organized and other people are so haphazard? Some people have a higher IQ than someone who is a little slower than others. Shock of all shocks, some people have racial prejudices. Some people are into ethnic stripes. Some people have nationalistic pride. You have to understand the background and the thinking of people, ladies and gentlemen. As I said earlier, understanding is the sister to wisdom. Most everyone who has wisdom has some kind of understanding. You can have understanding in one area, but lack it in other areas. You can willfully understand and acknowledge what other people, what some people are going through, but choose to turn off and acknowledge and understand what other people are going through. My Bible says God will destroy the understanding of the world, the wisdom of the world, but that God can give you understanding. My Bible says in Psalm 14:2, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. My Bible says in Psalm 53, verse 2, God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek after God. My Bible says in Psalm 32, verse number 9, be ye not as the horse or as the mule which have no understanding. That's interesting. A horse or a mule doesn't have understanding. And when you go through life without understanding somebody's plight, it's like going through life like a beast, like an animal. Not caring. Just be selfishly inclined and just be selfish for your belly and your roof and your clothes, and that's all you're concerned about. Oh, and I forgot your cable. You got to have cable too. My Bible says in Proverbs 7, verse number 7, I discern among the youths a young man void of understanding that goes to the prostitute's house, that goes to the harlot's house. My Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 12, verse number 11, he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Just like America. One of the most popular shows in America today is American Idol. Now, if that's not anti-scripture or anti-Christian, I don't know what is. An idol. You're worshiping an idol, American Idol. And they're screaming at the top of their lungs. It's, oh! But God forbid somebody gets excited about church and God and Jesus Christ. You know, don't you think you're going a little too overboard, preacher? I mean, you went Sunday morning. You got to go back Sunday night. Don't you think you're just carrying this a little too far? People who say that have no understanding about God. It's okay to watch the Titanic 4 hours long, 3, 4, 5 times over and over again. That's okay. It's okay to watch grown men in tights throw pigskin through plumbing 3, 4, 5 hours on a Sunday, and that's not overdoing it, or whatever sport you're addicted to. It only happens when people get involved and want to love Jesus Christ and love people. Are you concerned about others? Do you have an understanding heart towards others? My Bible says in Isaiah 27, verse 11, it is a people of no understanding. Therefore, he that hath made them will not have mercy on them. God help you, you die without understanding. Because the reason you're here is to help somebody. The reason you're here is to be a blessing to somebody. The reason you're here is to be an encouragement to somebody. But when you selfishly turn off everybody else and you're just so selfish about your own life, my Bible says God's not going to have any mercy on you. My Bible says in Jeremiah 4:22, for my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. Where are you today? Huh? Jesus said in Matthew 13, he said, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. You see, you understand with your heart. Jesus saith unto them, have ye understood all these things? In chapter 13, verse number 19, he said, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. My job is to make these sermons as easy to be understood as possible. My job is not to make you like it. My job is not to make you hate it. My job is to make it to be understood so that you can have some kind of understanding. If you die without Jesus Christ, you are going to burn in hell forever and ever. Do you understand that? That is not a joke. It's not a game. Life is not a game. My Bible says in Romans 3:11, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. My Bible says in Romans chapter 15, verse 21, they that have not heard shall understand. It's an amazing thing that people who are not saved, when they hear the gospel, they understand. I don't want to go to hell when I die. Yes, I'll ask Jesus Christ to save my soul. But it's amazing. People have heard over and over and over again, refuse Jesus Christ because they have no understanding of the future consequences of rejecting salvation. My Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Do you have any understanding of what's going on in life? Do you have any understanding of the future as it's about to unfold? Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to 1 Kings chapter number 3. 1 Kings chapter number 3. Condescend to men of low estate. Understand what people are going through. 1 Kings chapter number 3. King David dies. 1 Kings chapter number 3. His son Solomon now assumes the throne. And God tells Solomon, ask what you want. He says in verse number 5, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse number 5. He says, ask what I shall give thee at the end of verse number 5. Here's what Solomon says, verse number 6. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, thy father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child, I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Watch what he says. Give, I pray thee. I'm sorry, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, watch this, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. If you were to ask that question to the average American, ask anything you want, and I'll give you whatever you want. You just give me $1 million. That's all I want. Just 1 million. I'll take him $500,000. I just want to live a long life. I just want to enjoy myself. I want to have a secured vacation every single year. I want to get away from it all. You know what Solomon asked for? An understanding heart to help God's people. Just because you're an authority doesn't mean you have an understanding heart. Just because you're a pastor does not mean you have an understanding heart. Just because you're a parent does not mean you have an understanding heart. Just because you're the boss does not mean you have an understanding heart. Just because you're a government leader or authority, the mayor, the governor, the president, that's for sure, you don't have an understanding heart. Just because you're the congressman or the senator or councilman does not mean you have an understanding heart. You don't understand the plight of people. You don't understand what people are going through. You don't understand that people are hurting. You just got there because somebody appointed you. You just got there because you were selected or elected, or just because you fathered some children or mothered some children. But it doesn't mean you understand what people are going through. Do you have an understanding heart, ladies and gentlemen? My Bible says that God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart. In largeness of heart in 1 Chronicles 4:29. That means God can increase your understanding. God can open your heart to appreciate what people are going through in life. And people are hurting. Job 6:24 says, teach me and I will hold my tongue and cause me to understand wherein I have erred. My Bible says in Job 32 verses 8 and 9, the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. God will give you understanding if you ask for understanding. My Bible says in Psalm 19, verse 12, who can understand his errors? Some people don't want to admit their faults. You don't even acknowledge that you've made mistakes. You don't even start off. And by the way, you are not going to change your life until you can understand and acknowledge your faults in the past. You're not going to change. Somebody said, I don't know who said it. Somebody wrote, said, the greatest illuminating thought anyone will ever have is the fact that they, by changing their mind and their thinking, they can change their life. Now, I probably botched that quote up, but it's true. The day that ever dawns on you that you can change the way you think and the way that you think about life and think about God, I'm telling you, it will change the rest of your life. Everything's not going to go your way in life. Have you noticed that? Huh? But you can change how you deal with everything that doesn't go right in your life. You can become bitter if you want, or you can become better because of what's happened to you. You can ask God for wisdom. You can ask God for understanding. My Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 34, give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. You know why people don't obey the word of God? They don't understand why. They don't understand future events. They don't understand what's going to, how things are going to progress in life. They understand the fallout of sin. They don't understand the repercussions of disobeying God. Psalm 119, verse 73 says, give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Psalm 119, verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding. So you can ask God for understanding in prayer, and you can get understanding by reading the word of God. I know why people's lives are messed up. It's not a shock to me. How much time are you spending praying? How much time are you spending reading that book? That's why your life is the way it is. And you're trying to blame everybody else, and you're trying to put the, you're trying to pin the blame on everyone else instead of looking in the mirror. Psalm 119, verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding. Psalm 119, verse 25, give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. Psalm 119, verse number 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. That means if you start off with no understanding, you're a fool or you're simple, God says he can give you understanding. That's a pretty good deal, ladies and gentlemen, especially for those of us who didn't grow up in a Bible-believing church. I grew up lighting my candles, doing what my priest told me to do on my way to hell. You know what I did? I said, God, I need some wisdom. I didn't know anything. I never read the Bible. Did you? I thought Job was Job in the Bible. I didn't know how to spell it. I didn't know how to pronounce it. I had no idea. But you know what you do? You ask God for wisdom. You start reading the book, and all of a sudden people think you're smart. It's not because you're smart. You know that. It's because God's good, amen? God's good. It's not because I have any smarts or because of my IQ or it's not because of my background. It's not because of my education. It's not because of anything in my life except God, ladies and gentlemen. If you're not saved, you're going to go to hell. Do you understand that? If you've asked Jesus Christ to save your soul, you're going to go to heaven. There's no limbo. There's no purgatory. There's no in-between. That's man-made religious business to make money off of people who are ignorant of the Word of God. My Bible says in Psalm 147, verse number 5, his understanding is infinite. Psalm 119, verse 169, give me understanding according to thy word. God's understanding is infinite, the Bible says. Isaiah 40, verse 28 says, there is no searching of his understanding. God never runs out of understanding. He never runs out of wisdom. If we read it in the Word of God, he'll give it to us. If we ask for it in prayer, he'll give it to us. Do you understand what people are going through? Are you hurting for people? Do you care about people? Do you have an understanding heart? Everything's not going to go right in your life. And everything's not going to go the way you want in other people's lives. People are going to hurt you. They're going to disappoint you. They're going to purposely do things to hurt you. You need to understand that. They're hurting on the inside. That's why they're hurting other people. I understand why people are in jail and prisons. I understand why people are committing suicide. I understand why people are depressed. They're drugged out and their brains are fried. I understand why people are always drinking, getting drunk. I understand why immigrants are coming, illegal or legally. I understand why homes are being broken up and why people separate, why people divorce. I understand why people don't want to go to an old-fashioned Bible-believing Baptist church that preaches against sin and stands for the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I also can be kind and considerate of those people. And I can also reach out a hand and visit them. When's the last time you visited somebody in prison? When's the last time you visited somebody in the hospital? Huh? When's the last time you visited somebody in the projects? You can be kind, and you can be considerate of others. You can be considerate of what they're going through, because Jesus knows what they're going through, and Jesus loves them and is kind toward them. People need to know that you care, and people need to know that you understand what they're going through. You can have pity on others. You may not want pity, but bring your pity this way. I need all the pity and mercy and forgiveness as I possibly can get from God and others, ladies and gentlemen. It's only by God's grace that he's allowing me to breathe and do whatever I can for God. You can show mercy to others. You can love them unconditionally like Jesus loved you and cared about you before you cared about God. Do you have an understanding heart that you care for other people? Well, my Bible says, condescend to men of low estate. Yeah, they may be unlovable, but God can love them, you can love them. They may say some mean, nasty things and use foul language, but if God can love them, I can love them. They may taunt and ridicule and mock and literally hate for what you stand for. Well, Jesus crucified on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If Jesus can do that, then we have the ability to love them too. Yeah, but how about me, Pastor? That's the problem. When you're so selfish about yourself that you don't care about what your neighbor's going through and the heartache that they're going through, even if it is their fault, what they need is somebody who loves them and is kind to them and at least has some empathy or some sympathy of their broken lives and empty soul inside. What they need is Jesus Christ. Hey, that's what you and I needed, and that's what we received. When we were broken and undone and empty inside, someone shared us the good news. Someone shared with us the good news of Lord Jesus Christ. It's not that hard to care about people. It's not that hard to understand that people are hurting and need help. I got news for you. You know this. The government ain't going to help people. Vain is the help of man, the Bible says. Woe unto them that go down to Egypt for help, the Bible says. You know what kind of help they want or they need? They need help from somebody who literally cares about them and literally is kind to them and literally understands their plight. Whether you like it or not, whether you agree with it or not, at least you can understand how they ended up in this position and they just need somebody that loves them. You can be that individual. If you're here this morning and you think nobody cares about you, I want you to know Jesus cares about you. If you're going through a struggle, you got a heartache, you have a burden, you think your neighbor doesn't care, your family doesn't care, I want you to know this preacher cares about you. I want you to know Jesus cares about you. I want you to know that there's always hope as long as you got breath. Don't you ever give up. Don't you ever quit. I don't care how dark it looks. I don't care how gloomy it looks. I don't care how lonely you think you are. I'm telling you, with Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, you have all hope for all eternity. Let's all stand, shall we?